There we go. The last few weeks, we've been taking time to look at what it means to be the church in light of God's big plan for the world. So God sent Jesus to earth, and Jesus said that he was bringing a kingdom. And we didn't yet realize it at the time. People didn't realize it at the time, but Jesus was saying that the kingdom was arriving because he, the king, had arrived. And that God was going to flesh out this kingdom on earth. And even when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said to pray like this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus was teaching us to pray for the arrival of God's kingdom. And what we've been learning is that the church is meant to be the expression of God's kingdom on earth. That our part in the story is to embody and reveal the culture of heaven on earth. And I've been using that word culture very intentionally, because it's one thing to say that a kingdom is coming, and we might have certain ideas about that, but to be reminded that a culture is coming means that it's not just who's in charge, but it's what do the people in that kingdom live like? How do we act? What does it look like to be a part of God's kingdom? What does it look like to be a citizen of heaven even today as we live here on earth? And that in the church, in a place like this, and there's nothing special about these four walls other than that they've been consecrated to the Lord, that it's when the people of God gather in a place that we and others should be able to see a little glimpse of what heaven will look like. And I mean that visually, I mean that relationally, I mean that in terms of generosity and grace, I mean that in terms of love and acceptance. I mean that in terms of how we interact with one another. And even as Denise was sharing, like when you're at lunch today, sit with someone new. Do you guys know that you're going to be in heaven for eternity? Well, in God's kingdom for eternity. It says that we're coming back to earth. If you read all the way to the end, that's how it goes. We're back on earth. But we're in God's kingdom for eternity. And I'm just telling you right now, when you're in eternity, you're going to want to meet new people. So start meeting new people now. Show the world what it looks like to live in eternity. That's the church's, if I could tell you that the church had a job, that would be it. To live out the culture and the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. And we said, well, okay, Pastor, that sounds really difficult. So how in the world am I going to do that? Well, you need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. The good news is, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God fills you with his Holy Spirit. So in a sense, it's done. You have every resource you need to live out the kingdom of heaven, the culture of heaven right here on earth. But the Bible also tells us that we need to cultivate this reality of being filled by the Spirit. And part of that is the fruit of the Spirit, having the character of Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit helps you to have the character of Jesus Christ. If you ever feel stuck in your own maturity and your own growth, then you can remember that you have the most dynamic and powerful resource at your disposal to change your life and to change how you think, to change how you act, to change your perspective and your understanding. You've got it in the Holy Spirit. And then also God gives us the fruit, the gifts of this Holy Spirit to give us the power and the ability to live out God's kingdom right here on earth. We mentioned in one of those sermons that if there's no sickness in heaven, then God will display healings here on earth. We mentioned that if in heaven we can have face-to-face conversation with God, then God on earth will speak through his prophets. We mentioned that if in heaven we'll understand all mysteries, then God gives teachers to reveal his word right here on earth. That if heaven is orderly, then God grants the gift of administration to people on earth to display the culture of heaven. All the spiritual gifts are meant to display the culture of heaven. And then last week we took some time to do a little practice. And I've been encouraged because some of you in the last week and even today have told me, I've been thinking about that time since last Sunday where we kind of practice prophecy and discerning prophecy and thinking about how the Lord speaks. And so today, what I'd like to do is we're going to look at one other thing that God does to help each and every one of us live out the culture of heaven right here on earth. And it's not different from what we've talked about, but it's just an extension. And last week we did some practice. This week we're going to hear some stories, some real life stories of how God is doing this in real time for us and for our benefit. So if you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians. And we're going to be in chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 7. And I'll put it up on the screen. But Ephesians 4, we'll be in 7, I believe 7 through 16. And why don't we stand together for the reading of God's word. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says this: "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in the love as each part does its work." This is the word of the Lord. And I want to go back through this passage, and if you want to help me keep along, Astra, that would be fantastic. Just starting back at verse 7, I want to point out a couple of things. Actually, before we leave that slide, I spoke too soon, Astra. I want to point out a couple of things because I want to alert you to what Paul's talking about in this passage that may not be super obvious to you. Do you see here where he says, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work? What does that remind you of? Is there any passage that Paul wrote that reminds you of? That we may have even looked at recently? So in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about how God distributes spiritual gifts and he gives different gifts to different people, and it's like we're all parts of one body. And so there's a hand and a foot, and the hand doesn't do what the foot does, and the foot doesn't do what the hand does, and the eye doesn't do what the ear does, and the ear doesn't do what the eye does. But we all together, all of the different gifts of the Holy Spirit, serve to build up the whole body as each part does its job. So do you see the connection here? And now let's go back to verse 7. And in verse 7 it says, "To each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Does anyone know what the Greek word is for grace? Anyone? Charis. Charis in English. Does anyone know what the word for gift is in the Bible? Charisma. Charisma. They're related words. And I think Paul uses this word very specifically here, not to say that to each of us, forgiveness of sins has been given as Christ apportioned it. I don't think he's saying that for each of us, a redemption has been given as Christ apportioned it. He's using this word to refer us back to the idea of these charismas these graces that God gives. And so when Paul talks about what God has given in this passage, we can recognize very quickly that he's talking about gifts. He's talking about spiritual gifts. And now, if we could, Astra, let's go to verse 11. In verse 11, it says this: Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Christ gave this. Jesus gifted the church with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And if we look at this list, we might think something like, oh, these are different positions in the church. Maybe even offices in the church. We might say, oh, well, we know what a pastor is. A pastor is someone who leads a church, right? But I don't think Paul's using this to refer to a role or a position at all. I think he's referring to four or five different gifts, depending on how we read it. Pastor and teacher might be kind of like one thing, or it might be two separate things. But he's saying that God has given these charises, these graces that help the whole body work together as one part to build us up in love, right? He's talking about spiritual gifts. And so Paul has gifted people in the church to be apostolic. He's gifted people in the church to be prophetic. He's gifted people in the church to be evangelistic. He's gifted people in the church to be pastoral and to be teachers. And why does he do this? So, right? So that all the people would be equipped for works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God doesn't just give gifts to people so that they can do their job. He actually gives gifts to people so that they in turn can train and equip and raise up the rest of us to also do our job. Isn't that beautiful? So God says, I want you to reveal the culture of heaven. Lord, I'm not able to reveal the culture of heaven. And he says, you're absolutely right. Let me give you my Holy Spirit. And he gives you his Holy Spirit, and you say, Lord, I'm actually still struggling to represent the culture of heaven. You've given me the greatest gift a father could ever give, and yet it's still hard for me. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up models for you and teachers and trainers for you. I've said this many times from this pulpit, but it bears repeating, and I haven't said it in a while. I would say something like this. I am not a pastor because I'm a better person than everyone in this room. Francois is not a pastor because he's a better person than everyone in this room. Now, that can be disappointing to some people, because I think a lot of times you want us to be, you know, maybe sometimes something that we can't be, right? But you certainly want us to be role models. And I hope that we can be. I hope that, like Paul, we can say, follow us as we follow Christ. But it's not that I'm the smartest person, or Francois is the smartest person in the room. It's not that we necessarily pray more than anyone else in this room. It's that God has given us certain gifts that help the church become everything the church was meant to be. And certainly he's gifted other people to do that even better than he's gifted us. We don't need to be the best at it. We just need to be good enough, right? Good enough for what God has called us to do. And here's the thing. God has gifted other people in this congregation. He's gifted you to do the same thing, just in a different way. And, you know, it's interesting because when Paul talks about the different body parts and the gifts, he actually talks about some gifts are there to be put out on display, and some gifts are there to be modest and somewhat concealed. And so maybe your gift is one that is not so open and on display. And Paul says that gift is more important than the gifts that are on display. We treat them with special honor. And so even this list that Paul gives, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, this isn't the extent of what God has gifted to the church to raise up the church. But he does give us this list. And so one of the things that is instructive here is he says it's so that the people can do the works of service. And so it's not that the people with all these gifts, they're the ones to do all the work of the church. No. It's that God gives gifts to equip others, all of us, to do the work of the church. And that tells me a few things, and hopefully it tells you the same. Is that some may be apostles. I think Francois has an apostolic gifting. And so Francois can take his apostolic gifting and he can run with it. Or he can take his apostolic gifting and he can teach us to act apostolically. Does that make sense? He could teach us how to do what he's doing, what he's called to. I don't feel like I necessarily have an apostolic gift, but I can learn from Francois and do certain things that I wouldn't otherwise be able to do. We have people in our church who are prophetic. I don't believe I have a prophetic gift, but sometimes I share a prophecy because the reason that the apostolic gifts work, the reason the prophetic gifts work, it's not because there's something in me that's doing the work. It's that the Lord does it through, right? And so even if you don't have the gift of prophecy, God can still speak to you and you can still share it. Well, how do you learn how to do that? Talk to a prophet. And if you, maybe you're not sold on that, but let me ask you this. Do you believe that God has called every single one of us to share the gospel?
Yes.
But not every single one of us is an evangelist. So what God does is he gives us evangelists not only to share the gospel, but to teach us how to share the gospel. So we can actually learn from someone who that's their gifting. And in life, there's two ways really that you can grow. Two ways you can grow. And they're both valid and they're both important. But one way to grow is to focus on your strengths and build them up. And I think a lot of us, when we start our careers, maybe we go to school or we get into a training program or we find something that we identify with, that we like, and we focus on it and we build it up and we become really good at it. And that's fantastic. It's a wonderful thing to see a person build up their gifts. But there's another way to grow also. And that's for us to shore up our weaknesses. Right? And so, for example, we see this in the business world or in the in work world all the time. You know, maybe you pick a job, right? You're a plumber. I don't know if we have any plumbers in here. Let's say you're a plumber and you're really good at plumbing and you can fix anything when it comes to plumbing and you think, I'm so good at being a plumber, I'm going to start my own plumbing business. But you've never learned accounting, you've never learned marketing, you've never learned business management, you've never learned how to train people. Well, you take your strength and it's great, but now you shore up your weaknesses and now you can have a very profitable plumbing business. So we see this happening all the time. And I believe that God, what he wants is for the whole church to be doing the ministry of the church. And although we do have specialties, and although we focus in certain areas, God is inviting all of us to learn about all these things. Because I will tell you this, in heaven, you'll still be better at some things than others, but the things that you're worst at will still be amazing. You ever thought about that? Has anyone in here ever wanted to be a musician, but you can't carry a tune if it were in a bucket? Anyone like that? In heaven, you'll be able to carry a tune better than anyone on earth can today, even if there's people better than you in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Which, by the way, you won't get bored in heaven. Okay? Any thought of just like, oh, you're just up there on a cloud and it's boring. Like, no, you will not get bored in heaven. It just keeps getting better. You know, or maybe you've always wanted to work with your hands, but every time you try to make something or build something, it's all catty corner and every cut's in the wrong place. And it's like, no, you'll be a great, you'll be able to be a woodworker, a leather worker, whatever it is that you like. You'll do that so well in heaven, even if other people can do it so much better than you. And so if we want to display that culture on earth, then God invites us, hey, begin now. Begin now. Learn things that aren't your strength and put them into practice and do it around people who are better than you without feeling insecure, without feeling resentment, but joyfully receiving from those who are further along or have gone ahead or are more powerfully gifted than you are. Does that make sense? Is that something you'd want? Would you like to feel confident that in any area of life, and particularly right here in God's house, God's family, that you would feel confident to just serve as you feel called, serve as you're led, serve as you desire, and not feel the pressure to be as good as anyone else, but also to feel an encouragement to grow in what you're doing? Doesn't that sound nice? Sounds nice to me. And I believe what God is saying is, I'm offering that to you. I'm offering that to you. And then what does he say the result of that will be? He says, we will reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So you've got teachers and pastors, prophets, evangelists, and apostles to help you be confident so that you're not tossed about by every little wind and wave that comes, every false teaching, every word that comes up. You can feel like, wait, actually, I don't need to stress over this thing going on over here, because I know where the Lord's calling, I know where he's leading, I know where we're going. And not only that, but then he goes on to say in this final piece that we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We'll become mature in every way in regards to growing in the body of Christ. Do you want that? You know, some of you in this room are still in your physical growing stages, and you're experiencing, you know, maybe occasional growth spurts. You recognize that you can do new things. You're realizing that you're starting to think differently, and you're able to accomplish new things and more things. It feels really good, doesn't it? But it can be a tumultuous time, can't it? You kind of have to, I remember, and you know, I don't know if this happens as much to girls, I know for guys, you know, I remember when my feet grew and I kept bumping into things. Because like I didn't know where they were supposed to go. They didn't go where they used to go because they were just a little bit longer and I would kick things and it would hurt, especially when you're not wearing shoes, right? Or I remember I was really into singing and, you know, like boys choir type stuff, which is very high pitched. And then all of a sudden, those pitches don't work anymore. And you have to relearn how to sing. You have to relearn to do it. And of course, you know, you can have physical growing pains in your body. Your bones are growing and it stretches you out. And it can be uncomfortable. Well, the same is true when we're growing spiritually in the body of Christ. It can be uncomfortable. It can be challenging. And one of the things that at Fellowship that we used to recite our identity statement, and I think I mentioned it last week, is that our eyes fixed on Jesus, we are a community of practice. I mentioned it last week because we were practicing. This week, because we were talking about growing in maturity, a community of practice who leans joyfully into transformation. Why would we need to lean joyfully into transformation? Because apart from the joy of Christ and apart from the joy of what's set before us, most of us will shrink back from transformation because it's hard and it's uncomfortable. Right? And so God says, all right, so I'm going to give you an additional help. I'm going to give you gifts in the church to help you go to that next place, to help you grow to that next level of maturity, to experience what he calls the fullness. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Does anyone here want the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? Amen. I mean, I have found great joy in a partial attainment of the fullness of Christ. I can't even imagine what the whole measure of the fullness of Christ looks like. And here's the really cool thing. He's not just talking about you. He's talking about us. He says, you plural, you the community, will experience the whole measure, the full measure of the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. A little bit of a tongue twister for me. So today what I want to do is I want you to hear a couple of stories that help us understand how this can play out in my life and your life each and every day. So I'm going to invite, first, Papa Tony is going to come up. Tony Ragusa He's going to share with us a story. He texted me the other day, and he said, "Steve, I've got this story I've got to share with the church." And I said, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "Very little."
That's impossible.
Well, it was a text. And I thought, yeah, he told me enough. I thought, oh yeah, this we got to hear this story. And then Sonia and I went over to his house the other day, and I got the full story, and I thought, this is the perfect story. It's the perfect story for this week. And it worked out perfectly. The Lord was in it. So I want to invite you to share your story that you've got for us.
All right, Pastor. Thank you very much for supporting me. Is this okay, the breadstick?
Yeah. Yeah, we need it.
My son gave me a little update on what it means to have a breadstick. You don't talk into a breadstick. You put it here so the person who hears you can learn something. Well, I hope I can share with you what's been on my heart as a result of a wonderful, wonderful experience that the Lord has given me. Let me tell you this. I've heard a lot this morning about the Holy Spirit being here, and I could say this. He is here. As soon as I walked in, I felt the mighty presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's his presence, folks. You can't see him. You can't touch him. But you can feel his spirit breathing on you. That is the touch of God. So when you come into his service and you want to experience the fullness of God, fall in love with your brothers and sisters that are associated with you. So I would like to start with this. I call it the challenge of being inspired by the Holy Spirit. In Daniel 12:3, if you want to turn to it and mark it, I marked that scripture verse many years ago because it was very powerful to me. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. So when you start to walk the path of righteousness, you will start to develop this brilliance, this shine that never dims out. Amen? Amen. So on April 23rd this year, I experienced an unusual witnessing of the Holy Spirit. First, I called Pastor Steve. I wanted to see what his feelings were about it. And I mentioned to him my experience. Then I asked him if he thought it would be worthwhile to share my experience with the congregation as a testimony to uplift the body. He was excited. He thought it'd be worthwhile to pass it on to the congregation. So this is what transpired. I am given rides to just about everywhere I have to go because of my age, okay? I was given a ride by my volunteer driver and caregiver to the Jamaica Plain VA Hospital. She is a very dear lady as well as a follower of Christ and loves the Lord. I have witnessed to her in the past, and she received Christ. And we arrived to the hospital with no problems. And she drove me to a waiting area, and then she went to park her car. While I was waiting, it seemed like forever. She wasn't returning for me. I continued waiting and waiting, and I was getting nervous that she was not returning. So there was a lady with her husband across the aisle from me in the waiting area. So I approached the lady, I introduced myself to her, and mentioned to her that if she wouldn't mind watching out for my friend Melina, and when she shows up, tell her I had to use the restroom, and I'll be right back. In so doing, I thanked her and offered her a Bible. She gladly accepted it at first and then said to me, she couldn't accept it, and to give it to someone else. But as I continued to speak about the Lord, she began to cry profusely. The tears just started falling out of her eyes, uncontrollable. She began to cry profusely and began to tell me how bad she felt. She kept on sobbing and telling me she just lost her brother to cancer. And those of you that have lost very dear ones know the experience. And she was there with her husband for kidney dialysis. So I tried to console her, and I invited her to pray with me and make a confession of faith by repenting. You know, I've learned over the years that repenting is not a nasty word. It is a beautiful word. Because when you go before the Lord and you tell him, "I repent, Lord," that is showing your love and your respect for your Creator. So then she accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior, which I asked her to, if she would make a confession of faith by repenting, and then accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, which she did. She accepted the Lord. So with that, she got up and gave me a big hug. I gave her a hug and told her that God is stepping into her life at this very moment and that he loves her. Just keep thanking. She kept thanking me for the Bible and the prayer. And then I went to the restroom. I had to sort that one out. Then my driver, Melina, finally showed up and came to where I was sitting, waiting for her. Then I said to my driver, "What happened? I was worried about you. What happened?" She explained the reason for the unexpected delay. Then I told Melina that I gave the lady Sandy, sitting across from me, a Bible, and that I witnessed to her, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. So Melina blurts out, "Wow." So I said to Melina, "Go over and tell Sandy. Tony mentioned to me that you accepted Christ, and I am so happy that you made a decision to accept Jesus." So Melina went over and talked to her. And then Sandy told Melina that I gave her a Bible and prayed for her. Sandy was so excited that she came back with Melina and couldn't stop thanking me enough for the prayers and the Bible. So my driver had never experienced anything like that. She had never witnessed anybody before. She welcomed Sandy into the family of God. Can you hear me? To the family of God. So it was a teaching experience for my driver because she could not get over what had just transpired. She experienced the move of the Holy Spirit and had never been involved with witnessing to anyone at any time before. She heard of this type of experience before, and she never had the occasion to witness it. So at that point, Sandy came back to me as a matter of humor. Now, don't get this wrong, what she says, and said to me, "If you ever need a date, look me up." So I replied, you know, for a brief moment I had to think. I had to reply, "I'll keep it in mind." Being a 91-year-old single man, you know how it is. But the mere fact that she said that told me volumes. I felt very honored that she saw Christ in my character. And that was very important to me. So the moral of that story is we must walk the walk and talk the talk. I have never met Sandy. I did not know these people. I never met them before. But the beautiful thing is, the Holy Spirit knew who they were, and he intervened to her hungry heart. Hallelujah. So in closing, I would like to give you one of my favorite scriptures verses in the entire Bible. It has been one of my guiding lights for many years. This was an amazing experience to see how God works, not only for the folks involved, but also for me, that I had the occasion on God's prompting to witness such beautiful results. My encouragement to you is this, and this is very important. We heard it all this morning through what both pastors had mentioned to us. Just keep on remembering to be faithful to the Lord and continue to pray for your family. You see the world how it is. Your relatives, your fellow workers, your job, your customers, your business, your neighbors, our country's leaders, other nations, and Israel. Don't stop praying for these people, because God, mind you, God, not you, will answer in his way and in his time. So I was reading a book, and I'll close with this before I go into my last scripture verse. And this is a book that's been written by Chuck Swindoll, who's one of my favorite speakers. And the name of the book is, the title of the book is Searching the Scriptures. There is urgency when it comes to feeding the scriptures to the hungry. The food must be carefully planned and well prepared. Like Paul, you may one day be called to feed people on the spot. Not everyone will appreciate the meal. Some will walk away hungry. The account in Acts 17 proves that. But when scripture is properly studied and taught, God's Spirit will move and draw those hearts, the hungry hearts, for the bread of life. The goal is to prepare it well, and serve it in the most appealing way. When we do, the hungry will be fed, and God will be glorified. The verse that I would like to close with is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Remember this verse, it's the cornerstone of your beliefs. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So to God be the glory. And thank you very much, folks, for your attention, and may God richly bless you.
Tony.
Yes.
Approximately how many Bibles have you passed out?
I'm knocking on the door of 3,000.
3,000.
Right now it's at almost 2,700.
2,700.
So I'm praying that the Lord will keep me around to celebrate 3,000. Will you pray for me?
Yes. And Tony.
Yes.
Approximately how many people have you prayed with for salvation?
I used to mark down next to the person I gave a Bible to with the letters AC, meaning accepted Christ. I lost count. And I mean, I have had people accept the Lord in bathrooms, in hospitals, and, doctors that were examining me, praying for them. I witnessed and people accept the Lord in the x-ray room. There's no limit, because the Holy Spirit, you can't control the Holy Spirit if you surrender to him. And he takes over your conversation, he takes over your mind, and everything you do is not for yourself, it's on his behalf and his prompting. Did I answer your question?
But just so, when you say you lost count, you don't mean 15 or 20 people.
Oh, no, it's been more than that.
Yeah, like well over 100.
I would say probably from Naples, Florida, up to Maine, New Hampshire, I probably, give me that mic.
Just give us a guess.
My best guesstimate is probably around 800. Somewhere around there, 800. Yeah. So when I go into those pearly gates, brother, first I want to see my family, and then I want to see those that accepted Jesus.
Amen.
And above all, I want to see all of you. And you know what? When I came into church today, I really felt the power of God. And one sister came up to me and said, she started dancing and saying, and she was singing, and she says, "Don't worry about it. It's an undignified holy dance."
Amen.
I'm with you, sister.
Amen. Thank you, Tony.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Steve. What? I enjoyed it. He's the one that told me about the, what kind of stick?
It's a talking stick.
Oh, a talking stick, not a breadstick, he says. Well, you know, Tony's an evangelist.
Yeah.
Okay? 800 people. Tony, there's going to be a line for, I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred years of people just lining up to come talk to you and say thank you. I mean, that's amazing. And I am not, you know, so I hope what you've already gotten from what I'm sharing is, it's not, okay, now you go out and lead 800 people to Christ. But I love how Tony, did you lead Melina to Christ?
Oh, yeah.
The woman that was his driver, he also led her to Christ. And then he's getting her to go talk to someone who just accepted Jesus so that she can kind of get a sense of how I can do this too. The training, right? Do you see the training, the modeling, he's giving her an opportunity to grow in something that she has never done before. And yet he's saying, you go talk to her also because you can do this too.
Yes, Steve, I'm glad you mentioned that, because my driver, Melina, she has become almost like my daughter. Mm. Something like, I feel for Sonia, she's like my daughter. But anyhow, Melina was a strong follower of the Lord. Catholic, raised Catholic. So when I met her through the auspices of a friend of mine, and he said, "Tony, I want you to meet this lady, Melina." He said, "You'll fall in love with her." I said, "Great." So we got together. She picked me up to take me to a destination. And along with that, we prayed together in the car. She accepted Christ. And at that moment, she accepted the Bible from me. And just the most interesting thing, Melina was going to Naples, Florida.
Unfortunately, we don't have time for that story, because we got another story we're going to hear right now.
Okay, just let me tell you this. And she went to visit a pastor friend of mine in Naples, Florida. I told her to go down and visit him at his church. She went to the church. She's a former Catholic. She brought her sister-in-law with her to church, and they couldn't believe how the Holy Spirit was moving in church.
Amen.
So you can just, don't be afraid.
Amen.
Pass the word along.
We will. And I want to invite Findy up too, because Findy's going to share a story too. It's a very different kind of story. A very different kind of story. So it just shows, because we're going to talk about how God works in very different ways and different people. So, Finney, you were going to share with us a little bit about how in your workplace you give testimony or give glory and honor to the Lord and how that impacts your relationship with your clients.
Thank you for sharing that, Papa Tony. The Holy Spirit does not move through me before I use the restroom. But what he does, though, is he gives, the Bible gave me a format. If we look at Genesis, God saw a problem. He analyzed the problem. He created a solution. The earth was empty. It was formless. It was dark. Are we living in a world that looks like that at all? Right? But we have sun, which is the opposite of darkness. It's no longer empty because we live in homes, and there's shapes, and it's no longer formless. So that's the solution that he created. So I am the owner of RFP Fitness, Colorful Play in Alexis Homes. And the Yay! So that's the format that I use for what God has entrusted me. I see myself as a steward because God is the owner of everything. Amen? So as a steward, God's going to come back and say, hey, Fendi, I gave you these three companies. What did you do? Just like the parable of many talents, I should say I multiply them. I cannot say, well, I buried the three under the ground because I knew you were a man who reaped where you did not sow, and now I have nothing to return. So as a result, I use that format for my assessment. And so the story that I want to share with you today is how I use that Genesis model to help people move better, feel better, and reach peak performance. So at RFP, what I'll do, when I first meet with the person, I'll assess their movement, how they're moving, or if they're moving poorly or not. So my background is in personal training. I have a background in kinesiology. So what I do is I do corrective exercise, which is borderline physical therapy, but not necessarily physical therapy. So a person will come through me with any dysfunction in muscular or joint-related issues, and I'll get them back to peak performance. So for example, there was a woman who had carpal tunnel issues, problems with her shin where she was barely walking. I saw her finish the New York City Marathon. The doctor told her she would not be able to run. She ran 26.2 miles. She sent a picture of her holding her medal to her doctor and says, hey, we did it. We found a way. So I could tell you many, many, many stories of those things because God is the one who's just revealing these things to me. And so what I'll do is I'll meet with the person. I'll take all my notes. I'll do all the videos. And I sit back in the morning. I'll say, Lord, I'm just going to use Emmanuel as my client. You created Emmanuel. You're the one who created the body. Why is this area not working? What can you reveal to me? And I'll do that client after client, joint after joint, muscle after muscle. And we know what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit teaches, and it also brings things to remembrance. So I can say, hey, I have all these years of experience. Look at all my certifications. But am I going to remember everything every day? No. But the Holy Spirit can make me remember everything that I've learned in the past. So he would bring these things to remembrance. Hey, remember 10 years ago you had so-and-so that had this? Remember what you did for them? Yeah, use that for Emmanuel now. Remember this little thing that you read in this article? Remember so-and-so's lecture? Use all of those things. Then he'll just give me a brand new idea and hey, try this awkward thing. It may look silly, but it will work. 10 out of 10 times it works. So the person will say, where'd you get all this stuff from? And that's when it gives me an opportunity to share. And I'll say, well, after your video, after analyzing, I pray about it. Then I just wait and just see how the person responds. My goal is to just share that and not try to do much more. I wouldn't call myself an evangelist, but God uses that avenue for me to evangelize. I see myself as more of a teacher. And as I have other skills, but in that realm, I see myself more as a teacher. But then I'll tell the person I pray about, and these are the ideas that come to me after I pray about it. And does something magical happen afterwards? Not necessarily, but it gives me an opportunity to share my faith. It gives me an opportunity to represent Christ in that line of work. I don't have numbers of people to say, hey, these are the folks who are coming to church. But I have a lot of people that can say, I'm only walking and running because of what God has done through you. Thank you for hearing me, the story.
Thanks. You know, and Findy said, and actually while I'm talking, David and Esther, you can get our communion set up. You know, Findy said, I don't see myself as an evangelist. And I think what's really helpful is that that's the point. That's the point. He doesn't have to be an evangelist. He uses the gifts God has given him. I would say that, Findy, I don't know if this resonates with you, but when I have talked to you and hearing other stories and this story, I think of you as a person who has a gift of faith. And, you know, he brings that gift of faith into his work. And, how many of us pray over every aspect of our job and say, Lord, give me the answers? Like, I think a lot of us just, we fall back on our training or whatever it is that we have. And the Lord's saying, I think, to us this morning is, there are different gifts in the church. Then let's learn from the people who have those gifts, because maybe I don't have the gift of faith, but I surely can pray about my work, right? Yeah. And I can say, well, if Findy can do it, if Findy can do that and heal people's bodies, then I could pray about a spreadsheet, or I can pray about, you know, an account that needs to be, a client that needs to be dealt with, or whatever. And if Tony can share the gospel like that while he's just trying to get to the restroom, right? Then, you know, if I have a neighbor that I'm seeing every other day for 20 years, maybe I can share the gospel with him. You know, and so we learn from these people that God has gifted to the church. And we let these gifts percolate in our community. And then we begin to see the fullness, the wholeness of the fullness of Christ expressed in our midst. And that's a beautiful thing. I do want to pray for these two guys. And then Francois is going to lead us in communion. And then as I'm praying for them, also be praying, Lord, what do you want me to draw from this? You know, what do you want me to take away from what I'm hearing today, from the scripture, from these stories of your faithfulness in the lives of others? And then ask him, like, let this be your moment of faith to trust that he's going to give you an answer and guidance on your next step. So, Lord, we do thank you for Tony. We do thank you for Findy. And we do pray over the lives that you know, Tony is in his 90s, and you've done so much in his life to bring him to where he is. But God, this gift has been in him a long time. And we pray that indeed he would see enough days on this earth to reach 3,000. We pray that he would see enough days on this earth that more and more people would come into your kingdom, come into relationship with you, and that they would be with you for all eternity, and that they would be able to seek him out and give their thanks. Lord, we pray for Findy, who's in a very different stage of life, but who's in faith, has taken risks to start companies and to do a kind of work that seems very, very tied to the natural, and yet, God, you have ushered the supernatural into those spaces through Findy. And I pray that you would give him more and more opportunity to give testimony to your goodness for them. It's not just, he's not just giving testimony to your goodness to Findy. He's giving testimony of God, of your goodness to his clients, because you're the one who's healing them. You're the one who's giving their program to go from not being able to run to finishing the New York City Marathon. God, and so we pray for more opportunities like that. And then I ask, Lord, that each of us in this room, that we would begin to have a spiritual imagination that begins to say, what could it look like in my life to draw from what these men have shared today? And not just these two, but so many others in our lives that model for us the kingdom life that you want for every single person in this room. God, give us an imagination. We need a vision of what it will look like to follow after you like that. And then, Lord, help us to put it into practice. And I'm going to break out of my prayer here, church, for you to put it into practice. All it takes, if God's given you a vision for where you can go, all it takes is then to act and trust to that vision. Because really what you're doing is acting in trust to the Lord. And so, Father, give us the courage to act in trust to the visions that you implant in us. And, Lord, help us, Lord, to be faithfully stewarding, maybe not a business, but faithfully stewarding every moment of our life, so that we can say, when you ask us, what have you done, my servant, with the gifts I've given you, that we can show you the return, Lord, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, because, God, you love to do that in your people. We pray all this in Jesus' name.